At the end of the first service, Caitlin's husband, Jeff Phillips, came to me and said, "Well, you talked about the national championship. You tried to redeem it, but I'm still sad about it." Well, let me try again. What a great college football game it was. A great championship game. The Dogs and the Crimson Tide played into overtime. And though our home team led most of the way, it was Alabama who pulled ahead at the very end. Whether you're happy about that or sad about that or indifferent about that because you follow Tech, Auburn, Tennessee, or one of those other schools, everyone would agree it was a great game. And what distinguished it, because another Alabama championship is not all that distinguishing, is it? What distinguished it was the outstanding play of the freshmen. There were young, poised, impressive, talented, impactful freshmen playing on both sides of the ball. Two quarterbacks who were freshmen, a freshman who caught the winning touchdown pass. Wow. Like a head coach recruiting, preparing, and placing a first-year quarterback into a game, God passed over the priest seasoned with years of service named Eli, and instead went with a boy named Samuel. And Jesus passed over well-educated Pharisees, well-heeled Sadducees, and well-connected Herodians, and called common fishermen, and two sons of a father, and a friend from Bethsaida. Tax collectors and sinners very quickly heard a call of Jesus and began to accept his invitation. The most offensive thing Jesus did in his day, it seems, was to eat with sinners and tax collectors. The Pharisees couldn't stand it. "You should keep better company, Jesus," they said. "Why would you eat with those kinds of people?" Jesus defends his actions. He doesn't say, "Oh, come on, they're not all bad." He says, "Physicians come not for the healthy, but for the sick. I have been called to sinners." People who are well don't need a physician. People who are righteous don't need a savior. I want to think with you today about calling. Samuel's calling, Jesus' calling, the calling of those first disciples. God calls people when there is an important word to be said or an important work to be done. And most often, God calls people that you and I probably wouldn't call. God does not call the professionals. God does not call the experts. God does not call the experienced, the all-star veterans. God calls the unqualified, the unlikely, true fresh women and fresh men. We in the Presbyterian Church say regularly in worship through our affirmation of faith what we believe about God and God's way with the world. We say that God created everyone equally in the image of God. Not all Christians believe that. We say God calls women and men to all ministries of the church. Not all Christians in the world say that. Roman Catholics don't allow women to be in ordained leadership. Southern Baptists, Presbyterian Church in America. Some of Alpharetta's largest congregations don't allow women to lead and serve in the same ways that men do. I hope that angers you. It certainly grieves me. By the way, in Saudi Arabia, women are now allowed to go to soccer games and drive cars. They cite the Bible. They cite their favorite passages of the Bible that say God doesn't allow it. We cite our favorite passages. There is no longer in Jesus Christ Jew or Greek. There is no longer slave or free. There is no longer male and female. You are one people. See, there was a time, but no longer. It's not that the human distinctions go away. It's that we no longer let those human distinctions define our unity in Christ, our welcome to all. Elders and deacons today, some of them complete 3 years of service. Thank you very much. Some of them begin 3 years of service. You have our prayers. You are not angels. You are not perfect disciples, and you know that. What are you but baptized into Jesus Christ and called through the voice of this congregation to serve in particular ways? In the church, leaders are servants. Some of our elders and deacons that we will ordain or install today, some of them have already been an officer in another congregation or maybe in this congregation. But most of them, are you ready for this? I don't know how wise this is. Most of them, I wonder if God might have a better way to do things. What were you thinking when you voted? Most of them are rookies. They're freshmen. Fresh women. Some of them, get out your tissues, are youth. Our leaders might have braces. A prison chaplain was defending her ministry before the powers that be. The powers that be said, "You are not producing enough results to justify prison ministry." And she said to them, "Lives are being changed by the power of the gospel, not just for the inmates, but for their families. This is life-giving, transformative work. Don't take it away." And they said to her, "We know you're trying your best. We just want to see better results." And she threw up her hands and said, "If you want better results out of prison ministry, then send me better prisoners." I don't know how that story ends, but she won that argument. Shepherd boy David had no right taking on battle-seasoned Goliath. And Jethro's son-in-law, Moses, who was he to go to Pharaoh to deliver an entire people? How could Saul, the Jew who had once supported the arrest and persecution of Christians, how could he become the chief apostle? And when Jesus put together his spiritual leadership team, couldn't he have done a little better than tax collectors? Fishermen? Disreputable women, those who would betray him or abandon him? Why would a head football coach with a national championship on the line and a salary bigger than the university president, why would a coach put in a freshman? What is God up to calling this boy Samuel? Why would God call to an unwed young girl named Mary? What makes James and his brother John worthy? Jesus just used ordinary folks, didn't he? Imperfect folks. They had strengths, but they had weaknesses. They had some faith, I guess, but they had doubts. They had sins and successes. But why would God use them as part of this salvation of the world? I don't know. Some of you, like me, have seen The Lion King. We saw it in New York. It was fantastic. I think I also saw it in Atlanta a few years ago. It's now in its 20th year, The Lion King. It's been seen by 20 million people around the world. 5 years ago, Nia Holloway was a junior at Norcross High School. She was 17 years old and a year too young to try out for the Lion King part. She got it. She got the part of Naya, 1 year shy of the minimum age. She nabbed the role, and immediately her family had to hire tutors so she could get through high school and earn her diploma. Disney was the production company, and they gave her time off so she could go to her high school prom. She said she fell in love with the role and immediately connected to it because I can relate, she says, to having leaving so much behind and going out to try to figure out who you are. John's gospel opens by saying, out of great love, God sent the Son into the world, not to condemn it, but to save the world. And at the end of that same gospel, Jesus says, now I send you. Part of me says, doesn't God have a better plan than that? As the Father sent the Son in the world, now the Son and the power of the Spirit send you into the world. Who, me? What for? Send me where? I'm not qualified. I don't know enough. Probably ask somebody else. Coach, I'm a freshman. There's seniors on the sideline. I'm not old enough. Actually, I'm too old. I lack the faith. There are better prisoners to choose than me. Ask somebody else who's sick. I'm too sick. I'd probably fumble. No, I'll forget my lines. I can't miss my prom. I haven't even graduated from high school. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.